Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another
day of worship here at West End. We are so grateful to see each and every one of you. Before we get started, why don't you just stand up and say hi to the people around you, and if you don't know who they are, just introduce yourself. Theme of mission emphasis, where we focus on our church's desire and heart for missions and to spread God's word and his love wherever we go. And a beautiful reminder that comes from Isaiah. Isaiah gets commissioned in Isaiah 6, and you hear this beautiful vision that not only gives us a vision of who God is, but also our call to step into this mission. And it goes like this, and it says, "I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, and each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling out to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried, 'I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips.' Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" Join me as we step into worship of this amazing God.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship him now. How great, how awesome is he! And together we sing. Everyone, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. The earth is filled with his glory. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship him now. How great, how awesome is he! And together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord. His glory, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. The earth is filled with his glory. And it's rising up
Jesus.
Jesus Christ is Lord.
Sing, I believe.
I believe in you. I believe you rose again. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of
Please be seated.
Hey, just a couple of announcements. Just for those who ordered up anything from the cadet fundraiser, those items are now in, so you'll be able to pick those up. There's a table set up in the gym area, the fellowship area, where you can kind of pick up any of your orders. The cadets, on behalf of all the cadets and all the counselors, they just want to give a very heartfelt thank you to everybody that purchased something for their fundraiser. They were able to raise $553 towards their goal of $5,000 to get a new cadet trailer and new camping supplies, and so just thank you very much. Along that same line, a couple other fundraisers. Today, if you brought any pop cans, you can leave those. There's some boxes set up over by the garages over on the north side of the church parking lot. And then also apple pies. We are accepting apple pie orders. We are going to make the apple pies on Saturday, November 20, which will be right before Thanksgiving. The pies are frozen, so you can either use them for Thanksgiving or for Christmas, so they work out really well. But we'd like to have those orders turned in next week, if at all possible. So just remember to keep that on your mind. Also, some Bible studies are happening. So this week, tonight, we begin our new series with Pastor Dan Cruzy. He's going to be doing the teaching on Romans. We have a busy church tonight, so actually that Bible study is going to meet right here in the sanctuary. So tonight at 5:30, you guys can meet right here in the sanctuary for that. And then also this week, Wednesday, we continue the series for Bad Girls of the Bible. So women, you can show up here on Wednesday around 7 p.m. There's no prep for this, and so this is just an opportunity to dig into God's Word and to be in fellowship with other ladies, and so we just invite you to come out for that. Thanksgiving is right around the corner, and so what we want to do is we want to put together a video this year of just people in our church and families and kids just sharing what you're grateful for this year. So we're asking that if you can just take your phones, just record a short little video of you and your family saying what you're thankful for, and just submit those and email those to either the office or to worship@westendcrc.org. If you can make a little video and send it to somebody on staff, we'll kind of compile that together for a very fun little video for Thanksgiving Day service. So we want to remember that. In addition to that, today we wrap up our Mission Emphasis Week. What this is that our church deeply invests in a number of missionaries and a number of different ministries, both here, near, and also far away. And so in your boxes last week and also in the back by the Visitor Center, there was a form that had all the ministries that we support. So today we ask that you fill that out and just kind of give us an indication of what you're interested in you know, a financial amount that you're interested in supporting the different ministries, and then we want to be able to support those ministries. And so if you can fill those forms out, there's a table just as you exit the sanctuary today. If you can just put those in those collection boxes, that would be deeply appreciated. So at this time, kids, it is time for you to head on downstairs for your time of kids worship. So kids ages 3 through 8-ish, you are welcome to make your way downstairs for your time of children's worship. And as they head out, we're going to enter a time of prayer. Join me as we pray. Dear gracious God, we come before you, and even as we hear the scuttle of little kids heading on back, we just stop and give you praise for the kids' ministries. God, you have said over and over just how precious these kids are to you, and therefore they are precious to us. So God, we thank you for the kids, and we thank you for the families. God, we thank you for the people of this church who just have a heart for others, the way they care for one another, the way that they care for their neighbors, and the way that they care to carry your word and your love into every corner of this world. God, we pray for our missionaries, our ministries. God, we just ask that you'll put a special hand of blessing on the ministries, both of this church and those ministries that we support. We pray that you will bless them, that you will multiply, that you'll use our minimal offerings and just grow them exponentially to feed this hungry world. God, we rejoice in the great news that Christy Van Kuyken heard this week. Such great news, knowing that there was no cancer in the lymph nodes, and we just pray that you continue to grant her health as she recovers, increase her strength. God, we just give you such deep and heartfelt praise, knowing that this is such a gift and an answer to prayer. God, we're just grateful that Scott DeKreiger is feeling better. We just pray that you continue to grant him healing. We're grateful that for the doctors and the nurses that were able to catch things so quick and get it his heart all fixed up so quickly. And God, here today, we also just remember all those in our church family that are hurting and struggling but don't get mentioned in the church or the church bulletin or in these prayers. God, each of us come here today with different things on our heart. Whether it's continual medical issues that just have no answers, or whether it's depression or anxiety that we wrestle with on a day-to-day basis, or whether it's these deep longings that just go unanswered, God, you know what is on our heart today, and we just pray that you will just remind us that you are close and that you are near, that you are a God that does not just reach out and try to share your love to the ends of the world, but you reach down deep inside each and every one of us to remind us that you are a God that cares. God, you are big and you are powerful, and yet you are so intimate and so close. God, may we journey with you in this week. And God, here today, as we open up your word, may your spirit just be alive in our hearts. Remind us that we are deeply loved and we're called to go in love. May your words just come alive through the reading of your scripture and just through the words that you use in coding. Lord, all this we pray in your precious and holy name. Amen. One of the ministries we support, one of the people that we support is Cody Zuiderveen. So, Cody, we have... Thank you so much for being here today. We're excited to hear what God has played on your heart today and what God is doing in your ministry.
My name is Cody Zuiderveen, and it is good to be back here with West End to worship the Lord together and to study His Word together. I'm one of your ministry partners working with you at campus ministry at Grand Valley State University, and I'm the campus... Whoa, I'm back. Did you hear the rest of that beforehand? Feel okay about that? Great. I'm the campus pastor working at the downtown campus. Primarily out of the DeVos building, the big building right next to the clock tower. That's where I get to call home during the course of the weeks. And it's been an exciting year of ministry there as we regather our community. You may remember last time I came and preached here, we had just more or less dissolved our community. We took what we had, about 1,000 or so students, and we divided into 10 communities so that we could be these small neighborhoods, we called them, and we implanted them in actual neighborhoods so that we could go to people since they couldn't come to us last year. And so we reshuffled, we broke apart. Well, this year has been the year of come on back. Let's gather again together and see what the Lord has in this place. And so it's been a rebuilding year and one that we're grateful for as students start to work their way back into our ministry. And what was really fascinating coming into this year at our first worship gathering downtown, I work with all upperclassmen. When we gathered for the first time, we had 50-some students come back, and only one was the same student that we've had in years past, because COVID has been around almost 2 years now. And so we had one remaining student, and I stood up front, and as you can imagine, it was one of those, hello, I'm Cody Zeiderveen. And it just felt like, again, we're starting afresh, and the Lord has blessed that start as he continues to draw people around himself to worship him and glorify him. And the last change that we're making this year as we prepare to continue to work under these sorts of conditions and figure out how we can reach more students with the life-changing love of Christ is we're creating a network of micro-churches where we equip student leaders in partnership with Calvin Seminary to be speaking the gospel in the context in which they work. So a business student, for example, could start a micro-church in the business school. And a nursing student could gather at some terrible hour of the night when nursing students have time. And they could make a little micro church where they study the word and they worship the Lord. And so we're continuing to think around the idea of how does the love of Christ come to be manifest in the city of Grand Rapids among college students and young adults. And it is a great pleasure to do it in partnership with you. So thank you, thank you, thank you for your partnership with us. And with that, I invite you now to open your Bibles to Ephesians 3. If you have them with you, Ephesians 3, we're going to be beginning in verse 14 and reading through 21. And this is Mission Emphasis Week, so it should not be a surprise to you that this morning we are going to emphasize missions, and in particular we're going to look at our heart behind missions that equips us, why we do it, how we do it, all through Ephesians chapter 3. So all things have trade-offs as we look at this word. All things have trade-offs, right? We know that to be true. When I was a child, we always went camping in Ludington. Do we have any Ludington campers here this morning? A handful. Wonderful place if you can get a reservation. That's the case. And we always went, every year we went to Ludington. And one thing that I loved about it was my twin brother Grady and I would ride our bikes around every morning and we would look for pop cans. And we'd try and collect as many as we could because Ludington had the most enviable candy store. And the only way in my Dutch family that I could get candy was if I collected the funds, and the only way I knew how was through pop cans. And so I would go out and I would collect, I'd turn them in and I would immediately go and I'd purchase as much candy as I could. And so Ludington just gained this place of prestige and high honor in my heart because I loved that rhythm of camping and collecting and paying and eating and all of the good things. And what I found out was that as I grew older, my love transitioned from things to people, to relationships. And the interesting thing was, as my love made this transition and increased in depth, so too it increased in cost. Right? We know this to be true. Anybody that has gone through a dating relationship knows that it is not cheap. Right? We come to love a person, and the cost of that love starts to raise a little bit higher. Then we step into things like marriage, and it goes a little bit higher. And as our love increases, the cost of that love increases all the more. And as I was thinking about this general truth that everything has a cost, there was only one time in my life that I don't know that this rule applied to me in that same sense. And it was this time when I was newly celebrating the birth of my son Hudson. And shortly after kind of the excitement and the celebration was settling in, we found out that Hudson had some health issues, and just like that, they put him in this glass box with all these tubes and cords and beeps and nurses and doctors and the works, and said, we've got to go to Boston Children's. And so we loaded up, we headed out, and we got in this ambulance meet RV kind of device, and the driver turned around to me and said, you'll notice we're not going to speed on our way to the hospital because everything they can do in Boston Children's, we can do right here in the back of this ambulance. And it was true. We had a couple of doctors, a nurse practitioner, two EMTs, and it was the whole gang gathered there in this ambulance. And then when we arrived at Boston Children's, there was a team of surgeons that met us right there at the door, and they whisked away with Hudson for these different tests and exams to see what was going on. And then they finally brought him back to the NICU, where I met him and was able to rock through the night with him, and praise the Lord, he's healthy and well now. But as the story goes, here's what happens. If we need an EMT or two or three, and we need an ambulance that looks like an RV, let's get it. If we need to reserve a spot in the NICU, make the reservation. If I need to pay for a team of surgeons to gather around my son, I'm gonna do it. Because any cost feels worth it. I was experiencing a love that was not counting the cost. Whatever it is, let's pay it. Because any cost is worth it for a love like that. And when we come to Ephesians 3, it occurred to me that often my own love of Christ and our love together sometimes is more like the way a child loves candy in a candy store than a father loves a child for whom he would do anything without even counting the cost. And so when we come to Ephesians 3, we see that we are a people driven by what we love. We are pursuing what we love, and our actions, our activities, our lives are a mirror or a demonstration of what we love most. And Paul knows that. He knows that what we love shapes what we do. And that's what's standing behind Ephesians 3 when we read these words together from Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What a beautiful passage. Paul steps into Ephesians chapter 3 and he looks back towards the second chapter. And he looks back in chapter 2 where he says, you are being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And he looks back towards this passage and others like it in chapter 2, and he marvels at the unity created through Christ, that in Christ, Jews and Gentiles alike are drawn together. In Christ, those who were the children of Abraham and those who were not are brought together to become the holy people of God. And in that people of God, the Lord has decided to dwell by his Spirit in unity. And Paul looks back at that, and he's marveling at it, and he's wondering at it, and he says, for this reason, this is the amazing truth that grounds Paul's prayer here in chapter 3. For this reason, I just told you about in chapter 2 and recounted in the first half of chapter 3, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. And what's striking about that is that's very odd. In Paul's time, to kneel before the Father, right? We have lots of examples in the New Testament of people that stand and they pray. That is the way a Jew prays, standing, but not Paul. You see, this truth is so amazing. It's so mind-blowing that when he comes to it and when he responds to it in worship of the Lord God, his knees just get a little weak in wonder. And he falls to his knees in humility and in worship, and he lifts up his hands to praise the Lord God for this reason, because of what he has done. And in this impassioned prayer, filled with wonder, Paul asks God to empower us to love through his love. You see, Paul knows that loved people love people. Those who are loved deeply and well are able to love deeply and well. The two go together. The loves are tied together. And so he prays for that to be true, and he does it in three ways for us this morning. In verse 16, Paul says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you. And that phrase, the glorious riches, immediately caught my eye. Because you may remember, all that we love comes at a cost, right? Everything we love has an expense. What a great payment plan, glorious riches, that God would give to us for this kind of love. And thankfully, Paul has already told us what he means when he's talking about riches. And if you have your Bible still open, you're invited to turn. Otherwise, I'll read the passages, and you can stick with me that way. But Ephesians 1, verse 7. So flip back just a page, probably, to Ephesians 1, 7. In him, Paul says, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. You see, God's riches, at least in part, is the grace that he has poured out upon us. And then again in Ephesians 2, 4 through 5. Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5, where Paul says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. God's riches, we see here, are made up of God's mercy. And it is his mercy and his grace together that bring us to life with Christ. And again in Ephesians 2, 7, just a couple verses later, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. So we see this riches that's being built up of mercy and of grace and expressed to us in kindness. These are the riches of God that we're talking about when we're talking about them in Ephesians 3. God's glorious riches are God's mercy, God's grace, and his kindness to us. And it's these things that he says, may these strengthen you. May God strengthen you with these glorious riches, his grace and mercy and kindness. And the way he's going to use these glorious riches to strengthen us is, as the text continues to say, through the power of the Spirit in our inner being. You see, all three of these glorious riches are what God uses through his Holy Spirit to empower his people. And it's his Spirit that dwells within us with this sort of power. Dwelling within us with his glorious riches. So Ephesians 1, 19 and 20 talks about this filling of the Spirit. Thankfully, Paul has just as much to say about that as he does about glorious riches. So to understand it, we turn to Ephesians 1, 19 through 20, where it talks about us knowing what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. This is where we must begin. If we're going to talk about receiving the glorious riches of God, and we're going to talk about the indwelling power of the Spirit, the power we're going to be talking about is this one. The power that God uses to strengthen you to love is exactly the same power that God used to bring Christ Jesus from the dead. You know, we're not talking about some small power, not some token contribution. When we talk about the Spirit and the power of the Spirit dwelling within us, this is the power we're talking about, the same one that raised Christ from the dead and kept on raising him all the way to heaven where he sits at the right hand of God. Do you know what this means for us? You see, most of us go through life hindered by things like shame and guilt and disappointment and frustration. And these things hold us back. So when we come to a passage like this, we're thinking to ourselves, I know someone who's filled with the Spirit. I know a few of them. And you, generally speaking, they're holy. They're righteous. They are well-behaved. And all of these characteristics come to us. And be that what it may, that might be true, that they are those things. And it might be because they are filled with the Spirit. But if it is so, it is because in the power of the Spirit, they know this truth, that all sin, all of their sin, all of my sin, all of your sin leads to death. That's true. They know that to be true. And in fact, all of our sin and guilt and shame has already resulted in death. This is what we see at the cross, death as a result of sin, our sin. All of our sin together has led to the cross. And it's so important to understand this, because that means the death that we are earning through our works, the death that we are acquiring, has already happened. Christ died for our sins. Yesterday's sin, today's sin, tomorrow's sin, all makes its way to the cross, where it leads to death. And that's the beauty of Paul's argument that is summarized in Ephesians chapter 3. Because he affirms that to be true. You are a sinner. Your sin leads to death. It leads to your death. You are dead in your transgressions, Paul says. And it ultimately leads to Jesus' death, who died on the cross and was placed in a grave. And it's from that place, stone cold dead in a grave, that Paul builds his argument. For Christ was dead. That's true. That's a historical fact. It happened. The Lord Jesus Christ died, was buried in a grave. And he was dead. But now, through the power of the Spirit, he is alive. It's a historical fact. He was dead and brought back to life. It's one of the most well-attested facts in ancient history. And Paul uses the same language to describe you. You were dead, just like Jesus, in a tomb as a result of your sin. That's true. You were dead. But through Jesus' death, lying dead in a tomb, and your death, here's the remarkable thing about it, the gospel. It's in that place that Jesus unites himself with us. In death. And that's so amazing, because then when we start to talk about Jesus coming up from the grave back to life through the power of the Spirit, Paul says that Spirit that brought Jesus back to life brought you back to life, one and the same. Why? Because you were united with Christ in death, so that too you are united now in life. You see, the two come together. Our sin leads to death, and in that death, Christ joined with us, united with us. And so when he comes to life through the power of the Spirit that Paul's talking about in Ephesians 3, you come to life with him, because the same power that was at work in Jesus, rising him from the dead, is at work within you. So you were dead, but you're not dead anymore. You see, the riches of God's grace and mercy and kindness are applied to you through the grave-robbing, life-giving power of the Holy Spirit that lives within you. And what's neat here in Ephesians 3 is that Christ is coming nearer and nearer and nearer as we work through this book. You see, in Ephesians chapter 1, he's seated above us. And then in chapter 2, we are seated beside him. And then later, we rest upon him. And then we come into Ephesians 3 and we see that he lives within us and that he fills us. See, there's this movement towards unity with Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit that equips us for all of these things through the glorious riches of God. Which is exactly the good news that Paul is pointing us towards here in Ephesians 3. That we are a people that are enriched by God the Father, empowered by God the Spirit, and enlivened by God the Son. And in order that, verse 17 through 19 says of chapter 3, in order that I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. You see, we start to see this circle form in the book of Ephesians, that there's a people, that we are a people, that are rooted and established in love. And when we root and establish ourselves in love, we start to see this movement happen that allows us to understand and know more of the love of Christ. We start to understand how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And when we start to understand that, we start to experience more of that love. And when we experience more of the love, it further grounds us and roots us in love so that we may know and understand more of the love that will help us to experience more of the love that will further root and ground us in love. And you see this cycle, this circle start to form in which our grounding in love is deepened and enriched by our experience of love. So all that Paul's praying for here, all this grounding is based on the experience of the love of Christ in our lives. Because Paul knows that what we love shapes everything about who we are and what we do. When we step into missions and when we support missions and when we show up week after week for that student that doesn't have anybody else, when we're in the elementary schools and when we're doing the food banks and when we're going to the shelters, all of it is for naught if it is not for this, that it's grounded and rooted in love based on Christ's love for us. That's what equips us, that's what enables us, that's what empowers us for the work that he calls us to do, because this love changes everything as we are rooted and established in love. So if we serve, it's done with the strength the Lord provides. If we do missions or support missions, it's out of the glorious riches of God's grace. If we practice spiritual disciplines, it's not to become stronger per se, but to fall further in love with Christ. And until this truth sinks in and grounds us, we continue to serve out of our own strength and lead out of our own abilities and fight sin with our own skills. In my own life, this has, in my less healthy moments, led me to turn to spiritual disciplines and accountability, which are really good things, really great things, but I had once done them for the wrong reason. And I know this to be true because when I would fall into sin, I would say something like this: what am I doing? What am I doing? And then I would try my best to do better. I would try and muster up my strength to fight harder. I would try to get my act together to be better. And I would feel more tired and more helpless and ashamed and guilty. And it's exactly here that Ephesians 3 provides hope for us on this journey towards the kingdom of God. It's exactly here, because the good news of the gospel in Ephesians 3 is that it doesn't ask you, what are you doing? It asks you, what are you loving? What are you loving? Because what we love shapes everything about what we do. What's needing to be done has already been done for us in Christ. What's left is to receive and to live this life of mission and love out of the love that Christ has given to us. In order that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power. You see how love empowers. Together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And together with all the saints to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, may it be so this morning that, Lord, in all parts of our life, may it be so that we come to know and experience your love. So that what we do and who we are as a people and as a church and as your followers, God, it's all grounded there in love. Because, Lord, we know that's what will keep us going day after day, week after week. So, Lord, reveal more of yourself to us, reveal more of your love to us. God, we desire that deeply. Lord, we love you so much. Help us to love you more today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Cody, for reminding us of the rich love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What wondrous love is this, O my soul, O my soul? What wondrous love is this? You know, most often when the Bible wants to express the love of God, it makes a beeline for the cross. Because the cross is the greatest statement of God's love for people like us. John says, "This is love. Not that we love God, but that God loved us and gave his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Paul said that God has demonstrated his love for us in this, that Christ died for sinful people like us. And of course, the most familiar statement of God's love from John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that if we trust him, we can have eternal life." And so on the night before Jesus died, he gathered his disciples in that upper room, his loved ones, and he wanted to speak to them about love. John 13 says that having loved his own who were in the world, Jesus showed them the full extent of his love. And so in that upper room, he didn't just want to talk about love, he wanted to show them love. And so one of the ways he did that was he washed their feet, remember? He bent down and he took those dirty, smelly human feet into his hands and he washed them. And he loved those disciples. And then Jesus took the symbols of love that he would demonstrate ultimately the next day into his hands. And he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." And then he took the cup and he poured it out. And he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you, for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The symbols of love. But this isn't just any old love. This is not romantic love. This is not emotional love. This love isn't any sort of a feeling at all. It's love in action. It's a choice that God makes in Jesus Christ to love unlovable people like us. What amazing love! How wide and how long and how high and how deep it is that we trust that at the center of this universe there is a being who is overflowing with love for us. And I'm telling you, that love covers anything. No matter who you are or where you've been or what you've done or how dark it is, that love covers over it all. So if you want to receive the love of God in Christ Jesus, if you want your darkness covered, then I invite you to come to this table and receive the symbols of love. But of course, it doesn't stop there, does it? We are loved so that we can love. And so in that same upper room, after Jesus washed the feet and after he explained the symbols of his love in the body and the blood, he said to his disciples, a new command I give you. Love one another. Now that I have loved you, you should love one another. And the whole world will know that you are my disciples because you love one another. See, we're not just receivers and takers at this table. If you want your darkness covered, but then if you want to go forth from this table empowered by the love of God and Jesus to love one another, then come to the table. Because we're going to receive the love of God in Christ, and then as we leave this place, we're going to give it to others, creating an environment of such love and sacrifice and others-focused concern that we will express the love of God and reflect the character of Jesus. So come, receive God's love, that we may go forth and share that love with one another. Come to the table, the gifts of God for the people of God.
His wounds have paid my ransom.
amazing love. How can it be that you, my God, would die for me? Take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of Christ was broken to forgive us of all of our sins. Take, drink, remember, and believe that the blood of Christ was shed to forgive us of all of our sins. Would you stand for our closing? How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. So let us go forth in the love of God in Jesus Christ to share that love with all that we come in contact with and reflect the loving character of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Please sing this last chorus with us.
At the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? At the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory.
Peace.